first time that I walked into the stadium, Rick, and took a look up at the scoreboards from inside the bowl. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
They're large.
You know, you look at it from the outside, it looks big, you know, but then when you look at it from the inside, you're like, oh, my God, look at the size of them things. Right. Very impressive.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch a ball game in that stadium when they are completed with everything. And reportedly, that'll be done in about, what, another 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks?
Yeah, mid-July, and they'll be ready for the 26th for the unveiling, the Carrie Underwood concert, and the Fulham Football Club
friendly
game against DC United. You know, so it'll be a big night.
You know what's interesting about the stadium is we're talking about the ticket butts on 1010. I was at a function last night. We had a dinner for all our the Baselli Foundation staff at our house, and we were sitting around, and literally for 15 minutes I sat at a table, and all anyone wanted to talk about was the stadium, the pool, the scoreboards, all that was going on, talking about Shad and Mark. I mean, it was all on the business side. Now, these are football fans, so they obviously it's a given they want to win, but it was interesting to me as someone who's around it all the time of how excited people are to about the pool and the scoreboards and all the things that are going on here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Hey, before I turn it over real quick to either you, Jeff, or you, Tony, I thought Gus Bradley said something on Monday that I thought was very interesting, and I wanted a former player's perspective. During his press conference, he said that the players are not counting the days, that they're not getting through a practice and ripping off the calendar and counting the days to get out of camp, that instead it was a good practice. I imagine you guys have been in situations where players did that and when they did not do that. How important was it for Gus to say that Monday?
Well, I think it's a mindset that he's looking for. I mean, when you're counting the days, you have a tendency to punch the clock, you know, instead of worrying about trying to get better in each minute that you have during a period in an OTA or whatever. Now, I can honestly say, Rick, in 1995, I was counting the days.
Well, and remember,
that was just because it was overdone a little bit.
Hey, right? Jeff, you remember Tom's comment, though, just don't count the days, make the days count.
Well, he made us count the days.
I understand that. I'm not saying we didn't count them. I'm just saying that was the saying along the Gus Bradley theme of Monday is don't count the days, make the days count.
And the reality is, Rick, if you're counting the days now with the way the collective bargaining agreement reads, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, this is like a cakewalk.
All right, I would agree. All right, Ballou, Martineau, Blaylock, Big Country back tomorrow from 3 to 7. Right now, it's time for Jaguars Thursday.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
We welcome you inside the HananiaAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. OTA practices winding down. Mini camp coming up next week. The 1010XL ticket blitz in its final hour now as well. Lots to get to tonight. 355-NFL1. We'll take your calls. 355-6351. Tony, you know had your hand raised. What's up already? Go ahead.
Please,
yes,
can
sir.
I talk? Thank
yes.
you. You know what's funny, Jeff? Maybe you can explain the difference to me, and I've never figured it out. And I had the same question as a player, and I just never asked it because I was probably too busy counting days.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between an OTA and the minicamp? Back when we played, the minicamp was double days.
Well, the only difference is...
But now, what's the difference?
With the collective bargaining agreement is the amount of hours that the players can spend at the facility for an OTA versus a minicamp.
So it's just longer meeting
times. And the amount of time that can be spent on the field.
Right.
That's about it. But, I mean, the old minicamps used to go...
Double day.
Double
day. Oh.
You know, you had two practices during the day, and then you
night
had meetings into the night.
Miserable.
And then in some cases, even bed check. But that's changed.
We will get into minicamp coming up a little later
did
in tonight's
I jump
show.
Your, did I jump
that's
your,
okay. No,
jump
the gun. You know
I was
what?
Just curious. I was.
It's a nice tease,
I figured
Tony.
That
well
was...
Done.
People were asking that question if I was asking it.
Well, we'll answer that question
thank you.
Coming up
thank
a little
you very
later.
Very much.
We'll break down OTA practice today. It was open to the media and public today. It was Kids Club Day. So it was able to be reported. We'll get into that coming up. Also, a visit. You had a chance, Jeff, to visit with Chris Polian in Scout's Eye today.
Oh, that's
we'll
exciting.
Hear that one, Director of Pro Personnel.
And good.
Not often he goes publicly, so it'll be a big one tonight. Also, we'll look around the National Football League and, as we said, get ready for next week. OTA practice number 9 today, guys. Jeff, I saw you there. Tony, I didn't see you there
today. I didn't make it today.
Quarterbacks were a big focus
today.
Blake Bortles, I think John Osher reported, was 13 of 15.
I thought that was his best practice yet.
This goes back to the old saying, do the stats really matter? 13 of 15 is one great thing, but is that as big a deal as you think it is?
Well, I think it's a big deal in that he's showing progress. And it also doesn't hurt that you got two wide receivers, you know, somewhat limited back to practice in Sanders and Mike Brown. So, I mean, that helps the quarterbacks out, but it also gives them a boost of confidence. But Blake Bortles, you can see him making steps in that direction. Now, we talked about last week and how rough some of them were. But, I mean, when you make progress, that's all good signs. And when the team sees that and your young developing quarterback – It sends a positive vibe throughout the organization.
The stats do not matter one bit, JP.
Okay, good.
Now, if he's 0 for 13, I'd be a little concerned.
That'd be a problem.
Because, right? See, I had the comment ready that how much better of a practice that he had today, and I didn't know the numbers.
Okay, so
I wasn't counting.
So the stats don't matter, but what Jeff said does matter, that you see progress. And I think coaches, scouts, I think people like Jeff and I, you, JP, I mean, if you're around the game – and you see from the beginning to the end, you can see progress. I don't care about the stats. I don't care how many completions he had in 7-on-7. Because guess what? When you really get good, you should be 100%. I mean, the ball shouldn't touch the ground. I mean, there's no pass rush. There's nothing. So that doesn't mean anything but progress, footwork, ball coming out, accuracy, timing, command of the huddle, all those things that Blake Bortles, that we can see the improvement as you watch over a long period of time.
You can really see.
That's important.
You can really see the progress when he broke the huddle to running the show, the command of the offense. You know, you didn't see him looking back at Jed Fish saying, what do I have to do? Now, on the flip side of that, some of the new wide receivers that were just recently acquired in the last week, one of the Jaguars' assistants basically had to talk to them every time breaking the huddle because they're not up to speed. But
that's
you
right.
Got to have that happen. Yep. For the rest of the team to be able to continue running what they want to run, so you just have to be able to do that.
Of course, Chad Henne is a starting quarterback for this team. That has been said throughout the whole offseason here. Today, a little more two-minute work than normal, and Chad Henne said it's vital to get that kind of work in right now because once the season comes, the schedule gets kind of tight.
You know, we weren't very successful today, but, you know, it's good to have the pace and have the situations and review it because it's going to show up no matter what during the season, and some of the games are going to come down in 2 minute or half, and you want to get a score. So that's what we're really concentrating on, try to get down there and score.
And Henne also said today that he felt
cigarettes.
JP, was that you coughing?
That was not me. No.
Clear your throat before you turn the mic on.
Not me. Henne also said today he felt a lot quicker from the first OTA practice through the 9th OTA practice with footwork, with mechanics, the whole deal. So you would expect that.
Who doesn't feel better as you get
– I feel much better.
I mean, I feel better.
Yeah.
I feel better at the show now after doing it multiple times. I'm not very good still, but I feel better.
Well, Chad Henne's going to get better as those around him get better. I mean, that's the kind of quarterback he is. I mean, there's different categories of quarterbacks. Peyton Manning makes everybody around him better. Chad Henne needs people around him to make him better. You know, so with Chad, I mean, he's looked good. He's looked in command. But he still is a guy that needs all of his weapons out there.
The thing that we're all agree with what Chad said, and you kind of teed it up about the importance of this getting reps in this area, because I think Jed would like to go more hurry up than not.
And have that pace throughout the game.
Pace throughout the game. So the more reps you can get at that and people getting comfortable communicating at the line of scrimmage with the speed that it takes to do that successfully, I think that is very important because football is a game of repetition.
Wasn't it last year?
And you need reps.
At one point, the Eagles had the most plays per game at one point. And I think early in the season, the Jaguars were like second or third, right?
Wasn't it like plays per minute or something? Like plays,
some speed
of
plays.
The Jaguars were faster
right.
than the
but
Eagles.
Not as many
That's
plays
because
right. we had more punts.
But now, a year later into that, there might be a little more to that.
But you know,
the Jaguars
the
might
reality,
be able to handle that.
The reality
speed,
of
right?
it is, it doesn't matter how fast you are.
It's how successful
It's how many
you
points you're putting up on the board.
No, true. But the more plays you have that you can snap, the more chances you have to make plays. Right?
No. Well, yeah, if they're good plays.
Exactly.
Or you have more chance to mess up.
Or
you can mess up more.
Or you're turning the ball over or giving the ball up to the opponent.
Quicker.
And they're getting more opportunities as well. I mean, so there's a flip side of that, and you're putting your defense out on the field for more plays. So it's all good if it works.
Everything's good if it works, though, Jeff. I mean, come on.
Captain Obvious, here he is in the flesh,
ding,
Jeff Lagerman.
That's me.
Wow, I like that. Taking shots.
Thank you.
But, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, listen, no matter if you look at college football.
Okay.
If you look at, you know, you have the group of the, you know, Arkansas's and Alabama's that want to slow it down or trying to legislate how many plays you can run, and they're very successful. Alabama's pretty good at that, grind it up, and it's a great offense. And then you have the Oregon Ducks who will go 1,000 miles an hour that are great. But guess what? There's a lot of other teams not called Alabama and not called Oregon that run the same offense that aren't very good. And so my point is, it's the same at the pro level. You can be the Philadelphia Eagles. You can be the Denver Broncos, the Patriots, the Jaguars. I don't care what offense you run. If you're not efficient, if you're not successful, if you don't have good players, if you don't execute, you're not going to be successful. So pace of play is great. Getting more plays are great, but you better be efficient and effective running those plays.
One note before we continue with OTA talk today. This is 1010XL Ticket Blitz Day. The 1010XL Ticket Pack is open for the final 50 minutes. The phone lines will shut off at 7 o'clock tonight, 633-2000. Here's how it works. A two-game package includes the Browns game on the 19th of October.
Johnny Football, maybe.
Then maybe. And Joe Hayden getting burned by Cecil Shorts again, maybe.
Oh, that's even better.
Indianapolis Colts game September 21st or the Texans game December 7th.
A sacking Andrew Luck.
So that's right. I like that with the new defensive lineman.
Chris Clemens.
It's the Browns game and your choice of the Colts or Texans game. Two different locations, upper deck seating, 110 per package, lower bowl seating, 130 per package. There's a tailgate prior to the Browns game on the 19th as well. 633-2000 today and today only until 7 o'clock.
What if I'm blitzing? If I want to do this 10-10 blitz, and I want to buy season tickets. Can I buy season tickets?
Or you can buy season tickets anytime, of course. And if you already have season tickets,
by the way.
The same number. If you have season tickets, you can enjoy the tailgate. And a T-shirt and some other things for an additional $20.
Hey, I'm going to throw out a little off the beaten track here, and
okay.
I'm probably throwing a wrench in your game plan.
That's
here
okay.
That's okay. We like. I like doing. I like really screwing this thing up for JP.
This is an Omaha.
Makes it very uncomfortable.
This is an Omaha.
Okay.
Okay, but it's also a great promotion for Jaguars.com.
Bring it on.
Because Tuesday night, after the second consecutive OTA day, to where it was like 95 degrees.
Yes.
I mean, blistering hot. There was an event that was held at the Crown Plaza that had some sponsorship. It was a fundraiser event for the Children's Miracle Network.
I saw that.
Yep. And
Jeff, you were the host, right?
I was honored to be the MC for the night.
Yeah, that's right.
And
I saw that.
David
cool.
Caldwell was the chairman of the night. And a great turnout. Gus Bradley, Bob Babbage, Jed Fish, Luke Butkus. Frank Selfo, Todd Walsh. I mean, lots of coaches were there. Tony Sorrentino, T.W., Tyler Wolf. I mean, lots of coaches were there. And then players as well. It was a great turnout. It raised a ton of money. I think over $100,000 to benefit the hospitals in our area for the pediatric programs. And I just wanted to tell everybody what a great job the players and the staff did, because a lot of times those things go unreported in our media. And if people get a chance, go to jaguars.com, and at the top of the homepage, just click on the media gallery and scroll down.
Yeah, I saw it. It was cool.
Yep, and you'll see a little video there from the fundraiser for that night, and the miracle child Gage and his family were absolutely wonderful. Congratulations to the players and the coaches for giving back.
And they do a lot.
Well said, Jeff.
Yeah, that was great.
This is Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Logman, Tony Buscelli. The open OTA today was OTA number 9. Big story today was Mercedes Lewis. You know, he's been at every OTA. That's not the big story. But he flew to L.A. Wednesday to be at his sister's graduation, high school graduation. Flew all the way back on a red eye to be here in time for practice today on a voluntary day. And he's flying back tomorrow with three or four Jaguar players to work his football camp at Long Beach, an incredible run of back-and-forth travel to be here for a voluntary practice.
What that speaks to is this. It's
leadership.
It's leadership, and it's Gus Bradley's message working, because it's guys want to be here to be a part of the team. Mercedes Lewis gets it. He understands it. He's a pro. He understands that he's a veteran. He understands that he's a leader, and that he is going to do whatever he can do to be here a part of this team. And even if it is great sacrifice financially, that costs a lot of money to do what he's doing.
You bet.
And rest. I don't know if you've flown a red eye, and especially if you're as big as Mercedes, who's about my height, that's not very comfortable. I don't care where you sit. And so that's, I mean, there's a sacrifice there. And it speaks volumes of Mercedes' leadership and the fact that Gus Bradley's message has penetrated this team.
You think that would have happened Mercedes 2 years ago?
No.
I don't either.
No. That's a big change for sure.
I don't think anyone does it 2 years ago.
Some differences on the offensive line today, guys, as well. Brandon Linder and McClendon both took snaps with the ones at right guard. It's not unexpected. We talked about that before. Cam Bradfield had most of the snaps at right tackle today. And Austin Pasdor, kind of a banged-up shoulder. He's still rehabbing
from off-season shoulder surgery. Yeah. But, I give Austin Pasdor a lot of credit because when they're running team drills, which he's getting held out of, I don't know if you noticed, JP, yesterday and today, Austin Pasdor getting a ton of extra conditioning and extra work on the side on his own. And I think that speaks volumes to Austin Pasdor's commitment to being the best player that he can be and working his way back fully.
That's my guy. That's my guy. I thought he'd be great. I thought he'd be good. He has the right attitude, right mentality. He's a grinder. That's what you got to be if you're Austin Pasdor. I mean, is he the most athletic, talented guy? No. But does he have toughness? Does he have strength? And does he have a work ethic that can make him successful at that position for a long time? Yeah, he's a grinder. I love the guy.
Ladies, join the Jaguars Women's Club today. Annual membership $50, $45 for Jag season ticket members. Special benefits, custom merchandise, and access to exclusive events. For more info and to join, visit jaguars.com/womensclub. It's also Ticket Blitz Day on 1010XL, 633-2000. The phone lines are open until 7 o'clock tonight for the special 1010XL ticket pack. More on that coming up. We'll look at headlines from around the National Football League as well when we come back. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
He kind of reminds me of a young Peyton Manning, but then the arm strength of Matt Stafford. He has like that wobbliness to his, like when I was watching him, when he throws a football, it wobbles a little bit, but Peyton Manning won a bunch of Super Bowls with a wobbly football. So it's kind of okay, but it's like his bullet pass is just 40 yards out and then seeing him just throw it dead on to Ace, that's phenomenal. You don't get that anywhere else.
That is Jaguars Kids Club member Ryan Coplin at practice today. Speaking about Blake Bortles, today was Kids Club Day at OTA practice. Annual membership of $29.99. You'll get perks like special access today. Visit JaguarsKidsClub.com for more info. Over 100 members attended today. Each brought a parent, so over 200 for that exclusive practice. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. That was better analysis than Tony Bissell.
Well, that's not saying much, number one. But number two, did he just say you don't get that anywhere else? Is that how he closed that out?
Yeah.
That's the best. Yeah, nowhere else do you get that. It's awesome.
In my role as an analyst, I'm going to pass up on analyzing some of the comments that he said.
It was great. it doesn't matter what he said.
No, it does.
But the fact that analyzing the quarterback situation, and that's why you love kids, and that's what you want. That's what fans are supposed to say. The fact that as he analyzed Blake Bortles and said, you get that nowhere else in the league, then right here is awesome.
Good stuff. It is 1010XL Ticket Blitz Day, and we'll talk about the NFL in a moment as well.
Good job, Joe.
You get the Cleveland Browns game October 19th, and your choice will be the Colts or Texans game. Call 633-2000, $110 per package for the upper deck seating, $130 per package in the lower bowl. Call now. Ticket lines are open until 7. Let's go around the National Football League. We begin in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers signed center Marquise Pouncey to a 5-year, $44 million extension, $13 million signing bonus. He's now the highest paid center in football in terms of new money. An average of 8.8 per year.
And he got more money up front than Colin Kaepernick.
Incredible. Is that too much for a center, guys?
Oh, I don't know if it's too much for a center, but, I mean, if you're Colin Kaepernick and a center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, just got more up front money for you, I'm thinking
about your agent?
Firing my agent. That's the first thought that comes to my mind.
No, it's not too much money. The guy's a heck of a player. Maybe the best. You know,
is he better than Mack?
But he's been hurt.
He's been hurt. But when he's healthy, he might be. He's better when he's healthy.
Alex Mack is better.
Not when he's healthy. Pouncey's more athletic.
Yeah, but Mack's got more strength.
I like both. I mean, listen, I don't think it's too much. He's an all-pro type player.
He's not as good as his brother in Miami when his brother is playing well.
When they're both healthy, yeah, it's fair. I mean, they're both good. They're top. He's a top five center. He makes you better.
Yes.
And so if you can afford it and he makes you better, why wouldn't you do it?
You just got to stay healthy.
He had the torn ACL suffered last year's season opener,
which
but he's ready to go now, he says.
I mean, that's a little roll of the dice. For the Steelers, who typically don't do that, guys.
And who do not have a lot of cap room.
And those guys, if you look at the history of the Steelers, they let veterans go. And so the fact that
they
rolled the
dice. He's not an older veteran.
I mean, they typically
let the guys go when they get in that 9th, 10th, 11th year. But
I mean, rolling the dice after an ACL,
young.
That much money?
No, but ACLs anymore, I mean, are
good point. Fair enough.
Are not that big of a deal.
Let's move on to Western New York. The Buffalo Bills are lobbying the New York State Legislature to allow earlier beer sales at Ralph Wilson Stadium this year. According to the Buffalo News, the team approached lawmakers to push for a bill that would permit beer sales starting at 11 o'clock in the morning for 1 o'clock Sunday games. Every game for the Bills this year at home is a 1 o'clock game, by the way. But most teams, of course, open 90 minutes early and start then. The objective is to bring more fans inside the stadium to consume alcohol in a, quote, controlled environment. This bill was proposed 2 years ago but failed because some businesses around the stadium protested.
They're trying to make more money.
Yeah, exactly.
Because nobody, when the Buffalo Bills are rolling, nobody tailgates better than the fans of Buffalo. Because they're there. I mean, when you're getting there like 3.5 hours before kickoff, they've been there all day. And trust me, they're way past six-pack
deep. They're lubed up by that point.
Oh, yeah.
They're nice and lubed. And so the bottom line is, if you're promoting beer sales 2 hours before the game in your stadium, it has nothing to do with a controlled atmosphere.
They want to make the money.
They want cash.
The fans don't care because they got their beer in the bottle.
That's right.
They're going to get stuff in anyway.
They're not going to go in. Here's common sense. Okay, I can go in there and buy a $5 or $6 or $7 beer. However, I don't even know how much beer costs in the stadium. Or I can go my PBR for $6 for a six-pack or whatever the number is.
Well, by the way, the owner of PBR is talking about maybe buying the Buffalo Bills.
So maybe that's right there. That's why I said PBR.
Earlier.
I guarantee if he does buy the Buffalo Bills, the proprietor owner of Pabst Blue Ribbon, they will have PBR in the stadium, and they will find a way to sell beer very early.
And they'll open like 4 hours early.
It's already outside the stadium.
We move on to Atlanta. Well, they'll be on Hard Knocks this year. Thomas Dimitroff, head coach Mike Smith, of course. You guys know Smitty well. How's he going to handle this on the cameras?
He'll handle it fine. I mean, Mike's been through it here in Jacksonville. He's been through it in Baltimore before. He's got great experience with it. Thomas Dimitroff, I like Thomas Dimitroff a lot. They've got a great working relationship. Arthur Blank also would provide a little bit of support for that as well, because Arthur Blank, I think, is one of the owners that is kind of like Jerry Jones, in that when he joined that exclusive club of NFL owners, he really kind of took things and ran with it in the National Football League. So, I mean, it's good for the Atlanta Falcons, and there are some great storylines because they faltered last year. They gave Matt Ryan a lot of money. Can they get back to being what many considered to be a contender last year and getting back to that form?
Are you a Matt Ryan fan?
I'm kind of lukewarm on Matt Ryan.
You know, I was more so. But I was talking to somebody, smart football guy, the other day, and he was so down on Matt Ryan. And he started talking, and he said, listen, he had Roddy White, Julio Jones, and Tony Gonzalez. I mean, I'd hope you can be all right. And then really, I mean, last year when there was injuries and things, I mean, he struggled. I still think he's a upper echelon quarterback. I mean, he's not the guy conversation.
Me and you had this argument
last year. Yeah, I mean, I can be swayed right now.
Still lukewarm on Matt Ryan, and you were saying he's a elite guy and offensive line issues. But I mean,
no, but that, which is true. Well, I'm probably I'm not lukewarm like him. I'm like on the warm side. I'm not hot. I'm warm.
So you're more than lukewarm.
I'm more than lukewarm.
You're above
lukewarm. In other words, he's changed his position.
It sounds like it.
I was hot.
You're waffling.
I was hot. No,
he's a waffler.
I just turned the water down. I was hot, JP, and it got hot in the shower.
So you're going back to warm.
I'm warm. I'm staying warm now.
But you're lukewarm.
I'm lukewarm.
He's staying. He's been
there. Okay, whatever. So we're clear on that. This is Jaguars Thursday. JP Shattrick, Jeff Lockman, Tony Baselli. 1010 XL Ticket Blitz is underway. 633-2000. Phone lines are open until 7 o'clock tonight. Special 1010XL ticket pack today only. A two-game package. The Browns game October 19th. and your choice of the Colts game, that's the home opener, September 21st, or the Texans game in December, and plenty of changes, of course, at Everbank Field.
Which game would you take?
Colts or Texans? I would take the Texans, and not as hot.
That's not an easy decision because, I mean,
I take the Colts.
The way you look at it, Andrew Luck or J.J. Watt. Now, for me,
Clowney,
and Jadeveon Clowney, but he hadn't done anything yet.
True.
I would personally take J.J. Watt. He's worth the price of admission to me.
You're a defensive guy, though.
Yes.
Makes sense. Tony, what would you pick?
Colts.
Why?
Division champs. I mean, it's a bigger game. If you can knock the division champs off, it'd be huge. That's why.
I like it.
Simple. And then the other thing that I would say about the Texans matchup, Luke Jokel versus Clowney. That's a great matchup.
Jokel will own him. Mark it down right now. Shut him out.
Shut him out. He's calling a shutout.
He'll shut him out.
We'll see.
No, I'm just saying right now.
We'll write it down the
board. Shut it up. Right now, right by the 285.
Right there, by the way, you said you were going to be at
August, what, that second? I'm on my way.
You need to talk to Dan Hicken, by the way. He's doing a great job.
I've lost weight.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
I've been getting nice comments from people besides you, Jeff, out here.
Let's move along to the AFC South quickly, guys. The Houston Texans have finished a deal with the Broncos to practice together for 3 days in August prior to a preseason game at Mile High, new indoor complex for the Broncos being built, $35 million. When was the last time the Jags practiced with a team? What are some of the benefits?
I wish we did. Atlanta. We went to Atlanta a few years ago.
It was Jack Del Rio going to Atlanta against Mike Smith, where the team stayed at some nice resort on a lake that you didn't get to enjoy.
I don't want to go anywhere. I want someone to come here.
You know what the one memory I have about that trip?
What's that?
To, I believe it's Flowery Branch.
That's yeah. Right.
Was after the practice, Jack Del Rio taking his shirt off and going for a jog around the field.
Was his hair blonde?
No, his hair wasn't blonde then. It's blonde in Denver.
Yeah. Well, the thinner atmosphere closer to the sun dyes it.
We move on to Indianapolis quickly. Defensive lineman Feeling.
Crazy? That's one of the things I remember about
that's
that.
Very
it's scary.
Crazy.
It's scary.
Trust me, I'm not saying that I was impressed.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Colts defensive lineman Feeling Mo'ala partially tore his right ACL after colliding with a teammate this week. Re-signed with the Colts this offseason.
Partial is basically a tear.
Well, that's a tear is a tear, right? Six starts last year. Two of those were against the Jags. He had a tackle and a pass defense in that December meeting. Big loss for the Colts.
Well,
they don't have
IR.
Much depth.
They have not had a lot of depth at defensive tackle. That's been one of the Colts' weaknesses over the years. I mean, you go all the way back to Fred Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, racking up, what was it, nearly 400 yards of rushing.
And then they went to win the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, that's tough for the Colts because – that is not an area that they can afford to lose many because their front's not very strong.
I don't think their roster's very good.
Well,
it's not.
Division champs.
Andrew Luck.
Offensively, they've got some weapons.
Who? Besides T.Y. Hilton and
the tight ends I love. I love Dwayne Allen.
Okay. Their offensive line Fleener's below solid. Average. Their backfield.
Costanz is decent at left tackle.
Average. Running backs are no good. One good receiver and one coming off an ACL. Good tight ends. Their defense is awful outside of Robert Mathis, who's now
going to be suspended.
I mean, this is an average roster. Andrew Luck literally should be in the elite conversation of quarterbacks because what he does.
He will be when they let him be elite.
I know, but look what he does with the team. I mean, I don't know if Peyton Manning or Tom Brady does any better job with that roster. That roster is so average.
I don't know about that.
I'm just telling you, it's average.
They had a scare with T.Y. Hilton this week. He grabbed his right leg in practice, stretched out, and eventually returned, so nothing bad with him. Tennessee Titans. Paul Kaharsky, ESPN.com, had a conversation with defensive coordinator Ray Horton this week, and plain spoken, he said he needs big men that can run and little men that can hit. Is it really that simple?
Well, he's got one in the middle. He's got one of the best defensive tackles in football in Jarrell Casey, who happens to have gone to the University of Southern California.
College.
Let me throw that out there.
Best college.
He's a fantastic player, one of the most underrated players in the National Football League because he's played for a team in Tennessee, and they haven't won a lot of games, but he's a great player.
Could Ray Horton, I mean, you talk about Captain Obvious. I need big guys who run and little guys who hit. No kidding. We all do, Ray. Get in line.
Got a lot of Captain Obviouses on the obvious season.
That was a bad one.
JP, it's football for God's sake.
It's not that hard.
It's an easy game. Simple game.
It's a simple game. It's not that
we make
hard.
It difficult. We got to confuse people.
1010 XL ticket blitz going on right now. 633-2000. The lines are open until 7 o'clock tonight. Get that Browns game October 19th and your choice of the Colts game or the Texans game. the 21st for the Colts, the 7th of December, 21st September for the Colts, December 7th for the Texans. $110 per package in the upper deck, $130 in the lower bowl. The phone lines have been lighting up all day in that ticket office.
Well, JP's trying to light him up from 6 to 7 because he's getting a cut in this hour. So, folks, call up.
Cut of what? What am I getting a cut of?
Well, the way you're acting.
Of the Bluebell Moo Bars in the freezer in here, because I had like five of
them. There's Bluebell. Where are the Bluebell Bars?
In the freezer.
I'm on a diet. I can't do it.
Yeah, he'll be in there in a minute.
We'll get to that. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We return the Scout's Eye. Jeff Loggeman visits with Jaguars Director of Pro Personnel, Chris Polian. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Go further, Ford. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli. This is Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. 355-NFL1. Phone lines are open here for calls. Phone lines are open in the ticket office, too. 633-2000. Got about 24 more minutes to go for the 1010 XL ticket blitz today. $110 per package in the upper deck, $130 in the lower bowl. You'll pick the October 19th Browns game and your choice of the Colts or Texans game here at Everbank Field. Plenty of amenities that come with that as well. Scout's Eye. It's time to visit with Chris Polian, Director of Pro Personnel. Of course, his second season here, Falcons in 2012, VP GM of the Colts 9, 10, and 11. And comes from some a long line of NFL personnel men.
Well, and he's got, you know, obviously the genetics for personnel, his father, Bill Polian. But this is a great resource and a great hire for the Jaguars general manager, David Caldwell, because Chris Polian has been there and done that. And if he needs to bounce ideas or trust somebody, they've known each other for a very long time. And so it was a great joy sitting down with Chris, and here it is. Welcome into this week's edition of Scout's Eye, and this week we're joined by Director of Pro Personnel, Chris Polian. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Interesting with your title in that you've grown up in the National Football League with your dad, Bill Polian, and you've also kind of grown up in this business somewhat with David Caldwell, the general manager now with the Jaguars.
Yeah, it's been a fun journey. You know, we both started out in much lower roles, you know, a lot of airport runs, a lot of doctor office runs and that type thing. But it's been a fun process, and it's been great to see, you know, a lot, not only Dave, but a lot of people be able to grow in their careers.
How long have you known Dave? Did you guys grow up together?
It was Dave played in high school with my brother.
Okay.
My middle brother.
And so your middle brother is younger than you. So are
yes.
you older than Dave?
Yeah. And then okay. it worked out ironically, where for about almost, I think, an 18-year period, we had somebody from my high school go on to play football, John Carroll.
Ah.
And Dave was part of that. But it was about, you know, 6 to 8 guys just kind of kept going to play at John Carroll. But, you know, it worked out well, and you guys kept having good experiences, so it was a good fit.
How many years have you guys worked together?
Oh,
have you stopped to count it?
No, I haven't. You know, we started in Carolina. We went to Indianapolis. Dave then had an opportunity to go to Atlanta with Thomas Dimitroff. And then when Dave got here in the draft, he brought Kyle and I and some other people in last May.
So we're talking at least double digits, though.
Yes.
How important is that for you and Dave to have a professional working relationship with a relationship that goes back well beyond the professional life?
It makes the communication much easier. And the fact that, and even though Dave and I had not worked with Kyle O'Brien before, Kyle came up in a very similar situation. So the three of us from day one that Dave brought Kyle and I here, we were all speaking the same language, all kind of rooted in the same fundamentals.
And I want to kind of refresh people's memory, because we had Kyle O'Brien on a couple of weeks ago with Scouts Eye, and Kyle is the director of college personnel.
Yes.
So and that's kind of the triumvirate, I guess is the proper term, and I may pronounce that wrong. It wouldn't surprise me, but you get my point.
Yeah, it just makes the communication much more fluid. Obviously, Kyle and I have to, part of the process of coming together this year was learning what information Dave wants, how he wants it, being the being able to now anticipate going into the second season, you know, what he wants and how to make that flow of information to him so he can make the decisions that he and coach need to make a little bit better.
Obviously, free agency is a big part of what you do because you're the pro personnel director. This year in free agency, there was a large focus on the defensive line. How nice was it to have two guys in Red Bryant and Chris Clemons that came from the Gus Bradley system? I don't want to say it's the Gus system, but that type of system, so you knew what their roles were going to be when they got here and how they would perform in it.
Yeah, and I think one thing you're looking at in free agency is making sure you have the right expectations for the player bringing him in and putting him in a position to succeed, both scheme-wise and then expectation-wise. Obviously, Gus and Coach Wash had been around those guys and coached them personally, so that the relationship is pre-existing, and that is a big part of it. When you bring guys in, you're recruiting guys, and guys are making their determination of where to choose and play. That relationship's there. And then the fact those guys have won. You know, they've played in big games in Seattle. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl this year. So they have some experience in terms of success on the field that, to be honest, we didn't have a lot of on our roster.
Right.
And there's value to that. The fact they just come in, the technique's the same, the language is the same. It's a little bit more – the learning curve of joining a new team is less for those guys.
Way less.
What they have to adjust to is get their families moved, get schools. You know, we forget about that sometimes. You know, their whole family has to adjust their life. But now on top of that, they're not learning a new scheme, learning new techniques, learning a new language.
And so, you kind of compare that to a guy like Ziggy Hood, who comes from a totally different defense, and you're really projecting him in your defense. Very different, isn't it?
We felt a little bit more comfortable with Ziggy because of the way he played in college. He was a three technique in college. We had all
so really, and that's a lot of, that's one thing that people may not know. I mean, you have evaluations going all the way back, even with a veteran player that's been in the National Football League for X number of years. You got the evaluation from all the way back when he was in college.
Yeah,
and you keep that.
And that goes back to our point. One of the things that Dave wanted Kyle and I to do, and we grew up in, is that the college and the pro are the same. So the grades translate, the language translate, the evaluations translate, and the majority of our opinion or most organizations' opinion on a player is going to be where you had them in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the college scouts carry such a big load for us. And obviously the draft is so important. But, you know, Ziggy would play the three technique, was a movement inside player at Missouri, got drafted by Pittsburgh, played in their scheme well, but it was a different technique and a different responsibility he had. It was a little bit more of a stationary player, a little bit more of a power player, whereas he can come here, and I think he's going to end up having a lot of versatility for us. He's been working as the second under tackle behind Senderek, but we felt comfortable with that because Todd Wash had evaluated him coming out of college. Gus had evaluated him out of college. Kyle has, I did, Dave did, and we saw him play as a movement player, and he's getting better at it, you know, every day, whereas when you look at the Pittsburgh tape, you only saw that every now and then,
right,
but
glimpses.
You saw he still had the ability to do it.
Hey, I appreciate you spending the time with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with Chris Polian, the director of personnel for the Jags.
Just stop. Joe, if you play that again, this is not the Eagles – or what's that noise, JP? It sounds like some like attacking bird.
I don't know. I'm trying to tag the Chris Polian interview right now.
Well, we're tagging in a second. I'm annoyed by that stupid sound that goes on at the beginning and the end.
Well, take your headset off. What are you doing?
You like it? You think it's appropriate?
I'm trying to discuss the Chris Polian interview.
Can we get like a roar or something like that?
We'll get on that, Tony.
Okay, sorry.
Next week when you're in
Paul. That right there. I mean, come on, Joe.
Outside with Jeff Lagerman. You'll see the video part of that interview
stuff,
coming up on Jaguars.com. But, Jeff, I mean, what was the most interesting part of that for you? Something you didn't know about from Chris?
Well, I don't want to say that something that was most interesting to me. To me, the interesting part is that their relationship just goes back so far.
It's very rare.
But I think the information that a lot of listeners can glean out of that is something that I've kind of been telling Tony and you guys in our business for a long period of time. And it kind of goes to the Blaine Gabbert situation. You know, when I was saying that the Jaguars will probably get a draft pick for Blaine Gabbert, a lot of people were looking at me cross-eyed. And my point with that was being is that what organizations will typically do is go back to their own evaluation
right.
of a particular player. And Chris just echoed that. And I'm not trying to make a point about that I was right about Blaine Gabbert, but it's
sure
interesting
in
that they have analysis that they carry on a player from when he came out of college to all the way through his pro career. And then once they get the free agency, they utilize all of that information in making their evaluation.
You know, and echo what Jeff just said, the thing I liked about that, it confirmed an argument I had with a Steeler fan how Ziggy Hood was a good signing for us. And he says, oh, he's terrible. He was no good for us. And I said, it's because he was in the wrong defense. He's a three technique. That's what he did in college. He's an up the field player. He's a movement guy, one gap. In Pittsburgh, you asked him the two gap. That's not what he did. I mean, how could you? That's not what his skill set was set to do. And that's what I like what Chris said. I mean, Chris said, listen, we went back and watched him in college. He's a three technique. He's an up the field movement guy. He's a big, powerful, strong guy. Didn't ask him to do it in Pittsburgh. I think they feel like they got a steal for what they paid and what they think they're going
to
get out of him.
The other thing that was interesting to me is the consensus that he talked about, you know, informing that opinion on Ziggy Hood. Kyle O'Brien, Dave Caldwell, himself, Chris Polian,
Todd Walsh.
Gus Bradley, Todd Walsh. I mean, we're talking, you know, that's a minimum of five people, and that's probably not even counting some of the other opinions that they kind of drew into the formulation of an opinion on a guy. I mean, that's tremendous. That, to me, shows that an organization is healthy, is that when you have everybody working together, that's a good sign.
And I'll say this, just to temper that a little bit, because I know that's true, and I agree with Jeff there. But you would hear nothing different, even if it wasn't true. Even if the head coach or someone in that group was completely against it, which
no, it's happened here.
It has happened in the past. But even when it happened in the past,
it's even happened recently. I mean,
everyone's publicly says, "Oh, we're all on the same page."
I'm not saying
that's just how it goes.
Anybody was against Ziggy Hood, but I mean, I've heard that on certain players. I mean, there's always not a consensus.
Sure,
well, no,
but that's they don't want.
Shouldn't be.
They don't want.
No, there shouldn't be. You need a lot of.
You got to have an opinion in that business.
But my point is,
if you don't, you're making a mistake.
But you're always going to get, just to temper everyone's thinking, like, oh, it's like Nirvana down there. Everyone just hugs and, you know, lollipops and candy and
moo bars
and all the good things. No matter what goes on behind closed doors, the public perception is going to be we're on the same page, because that's what good organizations do ultimately. You come in, you argue, you fight, you punch, you scratch, and then at the end of the day, this is the move we're making, so everyone's going to come out. We're going to be united.
But in making that united front, there's going to be disagreement, and that's healthy.
Yep.
About 10 more minutes left in the 1010 XL ticket blitz today. 633-2000.
You need me to read that?
No, I'm good. Thank you. You'll pick the Browns game October 19th. And your choice of the Colts game, September 21st, to the Texans game, December 7th. 110 per package in the upper deck, 130 per package in the lower bowl. A tailgate prior to the Browns game, October 19th, and much, much more. Also, visit Jaguars.com. Check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. You'll get caught up on all the latest Jags news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. More on Mercedes Lewis, Luke Jokel. And Brian Sexton breaks down the second-year players to watch on today's edition. It's up right now on Jaguars.com. When we return, a preview of next week's mandatory minicamp, and we'll wrap up Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
You might see reps get spread out a little bit with the ones, twos, and threes. You know, if it's a 12-play period, they each get four reps. Then one more shot to get a chance to see everybody before we take off.
Head coach Gus Bradley today talking about next week's mandatory minicamp, some changes for next week's practices as opposed to OTAs. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Jaguars Thursday, final segment. And final chance for you to get in on the 1010XL ticket blitz today, 633-2000, Browns game, October 19th, with your choice of players
Colts or Texans.
To watch, or the Colts or the Texans. That's right.
Yeah.
So you get the Browns game, yes, and the Colts or Texans game on top of that. 110 per package in the upper deck, 130 in the lower bowl. Today only, the final 7 minutes or so right now, 633-2000. It's been a very busy day. In the ticket office.
Any pool access with those tickets?
I think there's access to the deck for anybody in the stadium that
pool,
wants to go.
Well,
I don't know about the pools.
Pool. pool? I mean,
I don't think the pools are part of public access.
Oh, they're not.
No, according to Jaguars.com Live, if you watched on Wednesday, you would
have to have a pool pass.
Yes.
Pond for you.
Coming up this week, one more OTA practice on the schedule tomorrow. Mandatory minicamp Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Tuesday and Wednesday practices, guys, are open to the public, 1:30 to 3:30. Jaguars.com/practice. You have to register to get in to come out to minicamp next week. You heard Gus talk about some of the differences for next week just to get some more reps in.
I don't think it's going to be a whole lot different, but just the way that they get reps to certain people. I mean, because this is the last look that they're going to get at some guys until they actually get to camp. You know, and I would not be surprised if
there'll be changes too.
They tweak the roster a little bit between that point and the opening of training camp.
Well, to the naked eye, it'll be no different. I mean, to the people watching, probably even to us. I mean, outside of us understanding who's getting more reps, but it's going to look the same.
Yeah,
it's gonna
same drills.
Very similar, same everything. Yeah.
Caravan season starts this week too, Tony.
I can't wait.
Palm Coast Thursday night will kick it off. Oviedo on Friday.
Next week.
No, that's next week.
Yeah, the 20th. Next week. The 19th, 20th, 21st.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I was like, we're not going anywhere tomorrow, JP.
Palm Coast Thursday, Oviedo Friday, Port Orange Saturday.
And, you want help?
Brunswick and Tallahassee the week after that. But you're going to be at every one of those, Tony.
Every single one. I love the caravan. It's one I mean, I really do enjoy it. I enjoy getting out to the outer areas of around the region, getting with the fans, talking about the team. And the fun part, a lot of the time for me, is the rookies end up going with us on the caravan, so you get to know the rookies. I mean, last year was great with Grotz and Josh Evans and all those guys. Luke, I mean, being around them, getting to know them, it helps me as we do the games during the season. You know a little bit more about the guys, so I'm looking forward to it.
Jeff, you've done those in the past, though, right? You've
been I've done a couple of them.
He's filled in for me.
I filled in for Tony.
If I'm out, he's
so
my –
I'm glad he's healthy.
Me to call you out on that.
I'm glad he's healthy and his schedule is not overly full.
He's
good at that.
Well, in the past, we've done
some together.
We've done like 11 of them, though. Yeah. I mean, we've done 50. We've done – two, we've done all kinds of things, and so Jeff, we've done them together. Jeff is my body double, stunt double.
Is he really?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. This is
not
radio.
Quite as good. Yeah,
theater of the mind. Yes.
It is.
More on the minicamp practice. What else do you guys want to see before this camp breaks here?
Well, I want to see the passing game continue to get better. I mean, and that's hard. I mean, with the number of wide receivers, I don't think that Cecil Shorts or Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee are going to be available. I don't think the expectation is that they're going to be available. But at least, you know, A. Sanders being back out there today, Mike Brown being back out there today, so at least you can work some repetitions in the passing game and get quality repetitions.
Oh, I mean, I want to see Blake. That's what I mean. I want to see him continue to improve. It's a little bit disappointing. No one can do anything about it. You'd love to see all the guys Jeff just mentioned, the wide receivers out there. So I'm really looking forward to camp. That's what I can't wait for. I mean, OTAs, mini camp, it's good. It's fun. It's nice to be out there and see guys. I can't wait for camp.
Let me give folks three names. If they come out to camp, just watch.
Maybe dark horses here.
Well, I don't want to say dark horses, but I mean three guys that are young players that are going to be very interesting when you come down to training camp and they get the pads on.
Hit us, yeah.
Defensive tackle / defensive end. DeAndre Coleman.
Cal guy, right?
Who was undrafted from Cal. Is interesting in that this guy has the size, the athleticism. Many people thought that he could have been a mid-round pick. He ended up going undrafted. I don't know exactly why he went undrafted. I don't know. I don't think there's any, you know, personal concern of off-the-field issues or anything. But he's an interesting prospect. The other one is a tight end that over the last week has shown – some nice hands and some talent. Marcel Jensen, who is from Fresno State, played a lot of flex tight end. The guy has gifted hands in a big way.
Had to catch out there with Carr throwing it around to him.
And moves Fresno pretty well.
Yeah. We'll see when he gets the pads on if he can stay in and block.
And if he can, because he's a big guy. He's like 6'5", 270 pounds, and you could tell that, I mean. It
runs pretty well, too.
He runs fairly well, but he's not a, you know, when you look at him at 270 pounds, you don't go, ooh, look at that. He's got, you know. He's built, you know. He can, if he spent some time in a weight room. This is a guy that you could tell that's going to develop into something.
He has the frame.
He has the frame. The other one is Josh Wells, the undrafted rookie from James Madison.
You love this guy.
Super
you said this guy for like 4 weeks straight.
Size, athleticism, got some demeanor to him. And watching him out there throughout the OTAs, he's a guy that I can't wait to watch him in pads.
You know the guy I can't wait for pads?
Who's that?
It's Boinko.
That's your guy, too.
That's my guy. I got a feeling he is going to – he's going to push Brewster. And I'm telling you, I won't be surprised if he can win that job. I nothing against Mike Brewster, but the size and the athletic ability, the knee bend, the movement, if he can mentally grasp the center position, which he's a Virginia guy, he's got to be smart. I mean, I that's the guy I'm looking forward to seeing.
I thought you had the Bacilli guarantee last week on that. You're backing away from
that? No, I'm still guaranteeing he'll be a starter.
Boinko, this year.
This year, at some point, he'll start during the season.
Not opening day. Great job, guys.
By the way, that was Tony praising the Virginia guy, not me.
That sounded like
it. I like him.
I like it.
Well, you praised the SC guy earlier. I didn't.
Jaguars manager radio's Joe Fortunato. Our thanks to Ryan Bonifant back in the studio. Jags director of pro personnel, Chris Folian. For Tony Bacilli and Jeff Lagerman, this is JP Shadrick. Thanks for the 1010XL ticket blitz today, too. 633-2000. In your last final moments of that. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.